Hey, it's the Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here. And we got Alf Petrie with us from Santa Barbara. You know, Alf was on a show earlier this week because he was talking about jerky treats, you know, these pet snacks that apparently had some contamination.
Yeah, made over in China.
Well, yes, but don't say they were made in China, like...
No, go ahead, say they were made in China, bud.
Well, what does that mean, Phil? In other words, it's foreign, so it's inferior, and again we go down the road of racism. Again, on your program, we mock the yellow man. We mock, what do you call him, the bull haircut?
Hold on for just about 5 seconds here. It's got nothing to do with race. This has got to do with quality control. The Chinese are notorious for the lousy, crappy product that they send across, and we willingly eat that slop up. I can't believe the American consumer. I really can't. I mean, you talk about a bunch of... We bust down doors and walk over people to the point where we kill them so we can go into a Walmart or some other place and buy that cheap Chinese crap that they sell, whether it's some recycled videotape or whatever. Then we go and we buy the seafood that they sent over here, which is... Have you ever seen those fish communes?
I wouldn't know about it.
Yeah, if you see that, you'll never want to go to the bathroom again.
What?
Well, what has that got to do with it?
Well...
I mean, but they do. They have these fish farms over there swimming in sewage. And then they take that and they sell it to us. And now they got these pet treats and everything else that they've... Then they got these pet treats. God knows what those things are made out of. And they killed 600 dogs and cats.
Well, again, Phil, that is very sad, but I don't think we go down the road of, well, here comes the bull haircut.
Did I say anything about a bull haircut? Did I?
Yeah, I know. See, the way he's looking. Look at the way he's looking right there.
What are you laughing about?
We're talking about Mr. Spock.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Mr. Spock haircuts, then.
I didn't say anything about it, and I'm not... And we don't do that on the show, and it's really unfair of you to say that, especially to a new listener. Somebody is tuning in and is thinking, oh, is this some kind of a right-wing racist show? No, man.
Well, who's the one that said Mr. Spock haircut?
Any one of these clowns here, or listeners, or some stuff that, you know...
Uh-huh.
It ain't me. All right, anyway, the Chinese have had these treats, that these dog treats that apparently were produced over there and sent here. Alf was on talking about that. You get me sidetracked in this stuff. We're going to get Alf on here to talk about a problem that was not really this particular story, but a problem with a Toyota brand or a Toyota model. And I think this was the stuck accelerator situation. If you remember, Toyota was having problems with the accelerator sticking when you accelerated up to a certain speed. And there was a recall, and I guess they've dealt with that. But I think and when I say we, I mean Bud is having a hard time finding it.
Man, would you find a story, man? I'm still looking.
All right, fine. We'll find it. But in the meantime, Alf has his own story, considering the fact that for a long time he worked at the studios in Hollywood. He was an animal wrangler, but did a great deal of commuting between where he was living at the time, which is in Ojai, California, and then he's going down to the Los Angeles, right down into the west side of Los Angeles, which is a good, you know, that's a 50-mile run. And he was doing that every single solitary day, and we'll get him on the line here from Ojai tonight. Hey, Alf, I wanted to ask you a question, man. How long did that take you to drive every morning from Ojai into West L.A.?
Probably about, I would get up at 3:30 in the morning and leave about 4 o'clock because I wanted to get into the studio by no later than 6:30, 6. So you want to give yourself a leeway, you know, and that was... primarily what I was interested in.
All right, so, wow, that's a long, long drive.
It was a very long drive, but I enjoyed all the years that I spent there, and we had a great time with all of the great stars, working with the wonderful animals, and, I love the animals, and retirement has been a lot of fun. We're living here in Ojai, California.
What do you do up there in Ojai?
Well, right now I'm retired, you know.
No, I know that, but...
We enjoy a lot of things. We enjoy the hiking and the mountains are very beautiful here, and Right now we're looking at these fire tankers are coming in low over the horizon to put out. There was a very small brush fire here earlier.
You're kidding.
I'm sorry?
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not.
This is exactly the same thing Steve Bozil was dealing with.
I don't know. We've had a very small brush fire. They're trying to tamp it down right now.
You got a fire tank. You got tanker planes flying in over top of you, and this is they sound exactly like the ones that were flying over Bozell's house. Do you know a Steve Bozell?
I never heard of him.
Okay, because he lives down in Corona, which is far away from you, and they had tanker planes flying in just like that.
Yeah, well, that's what they do. They come in low, and they go out here, probably at the Lake Casitas, and they get the water to come in, and they drop it on a hot spot. That's what they're doing right now. So we're out front, and we're watching that.
All right, let me ask you about the problem that you had with your car. It was not a Toyota, as I understand. What kind of car was it?
Well, the car I had was an old Simca, and I don't know if they, if you know the Simca, it's a Scandinavian car. I had an it was an import, obviously, and it was a car that was a what they used to call a coupe, economy size, a coupe like that, you know? And the Simca, it was like the old Renault Dauphine. You remember the Renault Dauphine?
Yeah, the old Renault. That was a French-made car.
Yeah, back before the United States or the Japanese were making these kinds of small cars, the French were making them, the Swedish was making them, and a great many countries in Europe, and I had a Simca. And I love this car because while it was a small car, a small-sized car, here comes again. Look at that.
Yeah.
They're coming in, they're bringing the water in from Lake Casitas.
Yeah, I swear to God, I'm on the phone a couple times with Steve Bozell down here in Corona.
I don't know who, you keep talking about a guy Bozell, I wouldn't know him.
No, I understand that, but he's got this same thing.
Got a tanker flying in.
What?
You got a tanker flying over, is there a guy hanging his bare butt out?
What's up?
Never mind. So, so you had the Simca.
I had a Simca, and I was able to carry cat cages that we would carry sometimes down to the studios. And it was a good car, but I had the same problem with a stock accelerator. And I'd get on the freeway, and the accelerator would stick. And I can't tell you the number of times I ran right into the back end of cars or ran into a wall or a building or something. And because I love this car so much, I said, well, what is the problem? And I took this in to have it looked at, I don't know how many times, Phil. There was a Scandinavian Motors, they had a mechanic over there would look at this, and he said, I can't tell you. Now, this is before the days they had computers in the engines. A computer can track the event. You aware of that?
Yeah, I can. I mean, yes, I am. They look at the computer, and they see the actual the day and the week preceding, right?
Yeah, and they can track the event, and they'll tell you, aha, right here on a computer it says something, at this particular time, this thing happened, let's go back, let's look. So they didn't have that in those days, and I had the car in a number of times.
Well, let me ask you, Alf, how many times did you have an accident with the car?
Probably about a half a dozen times. I ran into walls, I ran on the back end of cars, I ran into I ran into a cop car just in front of Sony Studios one time, and I told these guys at the Simca, at the Scandinavian Motors, I said, you have got to find what was wrong with this, or I'm not gonna take the car back until you know what's wrong with it. I mean, I just said that, and I don't care. There was a cage in the car, and I had two of my cats. I said, I'll leave the cats there, and I don't care if they die. I wasn't serious, but I wanted them to know that I meant what I said, you know.
But if you're not serious, then how do you mean what you say?
What's that?
If you weren't serious, how could you mean it?
If I wasn't, well, because I said to them, the cats will die. They weren't going to die, but I wanted them to believe the cats would die.
But the cats were all right, right?
No, they died.
Well, then you said you didn't want the cats to die.
I didn't, but I had to show them that I was serious.
Yeah, so that's what I mean.
No, you're getting it wrong.
All right, hold on for a minute. We'll be back with Alf Petrie as he talks. We're referencing only tangentially, folks, the Toyota problem with the stuck accelerator. He's talking about a car that he had called a Simca that had, as he says, a similar situation, a similar problem, if you will. a stuck accelerator, something that, you know, obviously was causing the car to accelerate. And you can't control a car when it's accelerating. You have no control over it. And I've had similar problems. It's a pretty scary thing. I don't know that you necessarily have to run into the back of something, though.
Well, what do you do? What did you do?
Well, what I did is I pulled it over to the side of the road. As soon as I felt the engine racing, and that's what basically is happening, I put it into neutral and coaxed it over to the side of the road. So I knew that I wouldn't be having any problem with it accelerating anymore, and I was just hoping, you know, I could get over to the side of the road. Unfortunately, people tend to know that you're in a little bit of distress, and we'll get out of the way. And in that case, at least they did. We'll be right back here with more. We got, as I said, Alf Petrie on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And don't forget, this month we're giving away a free download with every one of our new subscriptions. So check it out. Head over to the shop, too, online shop, man, and pick up some Phil crap. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And we have on the line Alf Petrie, and the story I was looking at here, Toyota Motor Corporation's first loss in a sudden acceleration case is in an Oklahoma courtroom this week. And it could embolden attorneys nationwide who are looking to bring hundreds of similar cases. Worse for the Japanese automaker, the verdict centered on the company's electronics, which have been a focus for plaintiffs seeking to prove safety defects in the company's cars. Toyota on Friday confirmed that it had reached a confidential settlement in the lawsuit, which involved a 2007 crash. And this was in an acceleration. It was called settling an acceleration lawsuit. That is the car accelerating essentially at random. And I mentioned to Margaret and you guys before we went on the onto our break that I've had acceleration problems, but I've never had anything as serious as losing control of the car. Alf Petrie with us. So Alf, you had a Simca and the car is accelerating and you got it into a mechanic.
Right, I got into mechanic, you know, and again, you know, we had a cat in the cage.
You did, a cat died.
Right, well, I told him, I said, even if the cat's got to die, it wasn't serious, but these guys had that thing in the shop so long, I came to get the car eventually, and there's a cat in the cage, the cat's dead in the cage.
What does that mean, man?
Why didn't you take the animal with you?
Because I thought it would motivate these guys to get the cat, to fix the car, I mean, and it didn't, and it's a dead cat, you know, and I said, you got to be... What is that about, you know?
Well, how are you blaming them for that? You left the cat there.
What's that?
How are you blaming them that? How can you blame them for that?
How am I blaming them that? I don't understand that.
What did you blame them for? You left the cat there.
You left the cat, God. You left the cat in the cage.
Yeah, I left the cat in the cage because I thought it would motivate.
All right, so it didn't motivate him, so you got a dead cat. What was wrong with the car?
Well, what was wrong with the car is they found out that when I got into the car, apparently the carpeting, the little rug under the feet, when you get in, I pushed the rug up underneath the accelerator so that when I accelerated, it would catch on the rug and it would stick. And I said to them, you got to be kidding me. I said, you said, you kill a cat for that? And this guy, you understand, is a Swedish guy. He said, I didn't kill any cat. You're the one who left the cat in the car. And so I had no choice but to storm out of there. I left the car. I said, there's a dead cat on your conscience, see? Now...
Wait. Give me this again, man. What was the cause of the acceleration?
That the carpeting on the floor stuck on the accelerator.
He said that the carpeting, the floor carpeting in the car stuck on the accelerator.
And that's what caused the accelerator to stick?
Yeah, it caused the accelerator to stick. So I threw up my hands and I walked home. And here's the thing. This place was in Pasadena.
And you walked home to Ojai?
Yeah.
All right, man.
You ever played football?
What's that?
Did you ever play football?
No, I never played football.
You ever have a concussion?
I don't, not to my knowledge. No, why?
Never mind. So thank you very much, man. And
that was my one experience, but I never had a Toyota.
Right, okay. Well, that's good. So thanks a lot. I'm sorry about the cat, but at least all your other cats are okay. Do you still drive a Simca?
Yeah, oh, I love them. You know, I've got a Simca, and the one that I've got, I got from a guy up in the Mojave, and he is a mechanic, a Simca mechanic, so he has a part, so I can drive it up there, get it. I love this car. And
do you have that stuck accelerator problem?
No, because when I got the carpeting, I replaced it with tile. You know,
you replaced the carpeting in your car with tile.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying I replaced it with Spanish pavers. So it doesn't stick no more. And
okay, well, great. And you got running water in that car?
What?
I'm kidding around, Alf. Thank you very much. And we'll have you on another time when there's another story.
Yes, involving mental illness.
You know, I can barely hear you. Now, look,
All right, so that's the last time we have that guy on.
Well,
I mean, you know, it's one thing to be talking about. I'll tell you, that stuck accelerator because of the carpeting, and I've got tile in the car now. See, that's a guy that, it's a good thing he's living out in Ojai, man. I hope he's not working in L.A. anymore, which means he'd be driving long distances, and that would mean a whole lot of people would be dead. Okay.
We didn't find that guy anyway.
He's a guy that we've known about for a long time. You know, he was on, he was talking about those jerky treats.
Well, I think you should have him on when it comes to things having to do with animals, because that's what he does. But when you had him on to talk about a car, he sounded befuddled.
It sounds like he has a dementia.
He sounds like he might have Alzheimer's.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Well, no, I don't. I mean, well, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, folks. A Simca. Anyway, Toyota, the whole thing was about accelerating cars and the safety problems with cars.
You got an old guy on about a car problem, man? You're asking for it.
Yeah, you're asking for $300 worth.
All right, fine. J.P. Morgan in a $5.1 billion deal with a housing agency. This is what I was going nuts about not too long ago during the show, actually during a break. You know, every time we're turning around now, here comes another bank with another problem. You got B of A. Here's another problem with B of A. You got a problem with Countrywide. Here's J.P. Morgan, $5.1 billion deal with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac about the quality of mortgage securities and home loans that sold to them during the housing boom. They're paying $5.1 billion to settle claims that it and firms it bought misled Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. $5.1 billion. Now, I don't care what anybody says. You know, if this represents the very finest, and I'm led to believe that it does, represents the very finest in American banking, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, I mean, excuse me, J.P. Morgan, this is the top of the line. These are the best of the best. Right? Isn't that what what it's all about?
Well, in what sense?
In the sense that J.P. Morgan on Wall Street in New York, the greatest financial minds in the world, are doing business on Wall Street. The top of the line, and look at what we got. We got fraud, we've got misleading people, we've got mortgage and security problems, we've got a 2008 recession, pretty much a depression that we're still going through, by the way. We're still going through it. I mean, we're not out of this, man. I just saw the thing today. You know, there's consumer confidence that's at an all-time low.
Yeah, consumer confidence, though, make them more confident, just make better stuff.
No, man, it ain't about making better stuff. They got to be more confident, like how the money is and everything.
Well,
make better stuff. But the unusually timed announcement, which appeared to catch other parties involved in the negotiations by surprise, covered not only $4 billion that was expected as part of the larger deal, but also an additional $5.1 billion to cover separate issues. So in other words, folks, if there was any doubt when all this stuff was coming down that it would involve criminality, fraud, or a combination therein, I mean, you know, what's the line that you draw between, well, you know, we made some bad decisions, and out and out, I don't think there's any difference. If there was any doubt, let it be erased. B of A, my personal, that's where I do my banking. That's where my business accounts are, my personal accounts are. My home mortgage is there. Bank of America has had to admit liability in the Countrywide fraud. The country driven into the depths of a recession depression, man, the likes of which we haven't seen since the Great Depression, because of these cheap, dirty, no good, oh, man.
Watch it.
You have to watch it, Phil. We all have to swim in the same waters.
Yeah. What's that mean?
It means you've got to watch what you're saying.
I'm not going to watch what's to watch, man? World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. What do you mean we all have to swim in the same water?
What are we doing? You got to, you know, as far as it goes.
All right, we're going to be back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show and talk a little bit more about this. We have Larry Grover standing by. We also have Brass Villanueva from Los Molos to talk about it. And Frank Gray and others here, J.P. Morgan and a whole financial fang. We'll be right back. The Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. What?
Well, I can't believe what you just said.
Why, yeah, why are you even heard what Matt said?
I know, Matt liked it. I think the wire blew.
The wire blew. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want this to be official. Phil Henry just said that the wire blew, which I think is language that is more befitting the gutter and the sewer than a radio program, but nonetheless.
The wire was not about a best cop show that there ever was.
Are you nuts or something?
I agree with Phil, man. I don't think that was good.
The Wire was the most formulaic turd. I shouldn't say. You know what? People work so hard on these shows. It wasn't anything. I should have probably watched more than a couple episodes.
Thank you. How would you like this radio show to be judged on a couple of episodes, though? If people just heard two episodes of this program, they wouldn't stop throwing up.
Hey.
Thank you.
Well, now, ain't that a nice how-do-you-do? And you're on this show.
Nonetheless.
They wouldn't stop... All right, I have no idea what the hell is going on here. I know we have a couple of guests lined up, but, Bud, you wanted to make a point here.
No, she did.
Who's she?
You.
Who's you?
Margaret. Call her Margaret.
Sorry, Margaret did.
I just think that it is... Bud asked... I asked, actually, who was the man who played the lead person on the unit, the show that you were on?
Yeah.
And Bud said, I don't know, but it was the black guy, and I took great offense to that, Phil. That kind of racism, however benign, is something...
Wait, hold on. How's that racism?
How? Are you kidding?
Well, I mean, why did you say the black guy?
Well, now, hold on for just a second here. Bud didn't mean to be racist. He identified the actor as the black guy because the fact is there are far fewer black people, whether it be on television or in regular life, than there are white people. We've got about 13%, 14% of the population. So to say, oh, he was the black man, is to say in a crowd of faces, if you want to identify somebody quickly... What's wrong with mentioning their race?
Well, now I've heard it all.
Yep.
You finally got it said.
Will you knock it off with the finally got it said? What's that? Like, what did I just say that's so earth-shaking?
Are you kidding me? So, who was the actor? Well, he was the black one. I think it demeans. I think it is, it gives me the creeps. And I'm trying to be intelligent here.
Yeah, that's a very intelligent thing to say.
Well,
Mr. Henry, you say that's the black guy.
What I'm saying is, when someone says, I'll give you an example. I was standing with a father after a football game that my son had been in. And there was a kid that was taken off the field on a stretcher. Speak of a concussion. This kid had a concussion, okay? Now, I'm standing at the locker room door with another father, and he's an African-American gentleman. And I say this because he was waiting for his son to come out of the locker room. And he kept glancing back at the ambulance, and then he kept glancing down at the door. And I'm trying to be Mr. Politically Correct, right? When the gentleman asked me, he said, did you see who the kid was that was taken into that ambulance? And I said, yes, sir, I did. They just took him over there. Now he's a member of the, I think he was a second string young man. I think he was a sophomore. I think I recognized the kid, okay?
Yeah.
And there's Phil trying to be Mr. Politically Correct. I didn't say it was a white kid. And I should have earlier because it would have put this man's mind at rest. he was wondering, was that my son that was taken away? Because I don't see anybody coming out of this locker room. And finally, I looked at him, I said, he was a white kid, sir. And the man said, thank you. And the obvious relief on his face, coupled with the thank you, told me that at least he knew that whoever that boy was being taken in the ambulance wasn't his son.
Well, but I'm sure he got home and said to his wife, I'm glad that our boy is okay, but this white man thought he was going to, I don't know.
Yeah, probably thought a white man's going to lord it all over him.
Exactly.
What? Are you serious?
Phil, you don't know. He probably got home and said some white thought he was going to be all touchy-feely and it was Brotherhood Week. And
I don't think so at all. This guy was worried. I could tell he was worried and I needed to say something else. The guy's like looking. I said, yeah, they took the boy in the ambulance and he's looking and he's back. And I said, he was a white kid. And he said, thank you. I can tell the guy was relieved and said, thank you. He didn't look at me like I said something, like I was speaking Martian. He looked at me and said, thank you. So, you know, I mean, look, if whatever identifies somebody, identifies them. Who was it? What's the, always the black actor? Oh, okay, now I know. I don't call that racist at all. I call that the most readily identifiable feature of any individual.
Well, then why don't you say that he was the white one?
Because there's 90 million white guys. On any given TV show, you narrow it down, he was one of the two black guys. How many black guys are on a TV show, the average television show?
Yeah, that's the racism part right there. They had to hire more black actors and everything.
What? Not about hiring more black actors.
Here I am sticking up for you, and now you're going against me. Ain't that just like a black guy to put the spear in my back?
Hey, watch it. Watch it out.
I'm only kidding.
Hey, bud, what? Even when you're joking, stop with the spear in the back stuff, okay?
I'll kick your ass, man.
I'm only kidding.
Oh, now you're going to start the ball?
Yeah.
Well, then don't say stick the spear in the back.
I'm only joking around.
Ain't funny, man.
That's what I'm saying, you know? I mean, what are you, racist?
Well, I didn't like it, and I stand by what I said, and I would prefer, if you are going to identify someone to me, give me something more specific.
All right, well, what would have been more specific than to say he was the black guy in the unit?
The big, tall, burly, handsome guy with the deep voice?
The big, tall, burly, handsome guy with the deep voice. All right, that probably would have worked. Yeah.
Well, why didn't he say it?
I don't know. I mean, it's probably easier to say black than the big, tall, burly guy, handsome guy with the deep voice. You're talking about Dennis Haysbert, who was the actor on that show, and he is a big, tall, burly guy who's handsome with a deep voice. He's also black, so I don't know, you know.
Well, Phil, guys like you that want to profile, racially profile, it saddens my heart. There, and yes, I did belch.
And you're proud of that, aren't you?
I'm proud of the fact that I won't be bullied by this staff of men.
You know I'm not being bullied by a staff of men. You belching just like you work on a dock, man, unloading big crates and all that. Oh, man.
I beg your pardon?
You do. You belch just like you're a dock worker, like a stevedore. Like some guy in overalls with a hook in his pocket, smoking a big fat cigar.
Speaking of cigars...
You're in the bathroom.
Thank you.
Oh, God. Those things stink, bud.
Well, I found it. She wants a white owl.
Have you ever met a woman in your life? A woman, a female, who, first of all, smokes... Yeah, I know women that smoke cigars, but have you ever met one but must smoke only white owls? That's like something that my grandfather smoked. That's the stuff that... That's like something the guy at the corner newsstand, when I was a kid, we used to have these newsstands, you know, and there'd be a guy there... And he's leaning on the counter, and he's reading a newspaper, and he's got a big, fat stogie that he's puffing away on. And that's what he smoked, you know? Or when I went to the ball game, used to be able to smoke cigars and cigarettes at the baseball stadium. The first thing, when I walked into Dodger Stadium as a 10-year-old kid, the first thing I smelled were hot dogs and cigars.
Man, that must have been great.
It was. It was fantastic. It was the best smell I ever smelled in my life. To this day, I smell hot dogs and cigars. I think of a baseball stadium specifically, the ballpark. I don't know what it is about cigars, but man, guys used to smoke those a lot.
Yeah, smoke one up.
I never smoked cigars, man, because they boil your guts. How do you inhale? You know, to smoke for me when I smoked, half of the fun was inhaling the fumes. You know, inhaling the nicotine. It was good. That's why you smoked. And these cats. Well, I smoke a cigar. Will you inhale? No, you don't inhale a cigar. Well, what's the point, man? You just have that thing in your mouth. Yeah, I'll bet you do.
That's what she said.
Would you please stop you?
Shut up, bud.
Smoking that cigar.
Speaking of having something in your mouth.
Yes, it's a White Owl cigar. God, you are a... You know something? The filth that is in your minds. And besides, look at this. What? What penis is shaped like this?
All right, thank you very much. We're going to be back here with more on the Phil Hendry Show. Some more of the news as yet to cover. We do appreciate the appearance on our program here of our guests. Now, we were going to talk about J.P. Morgan and the housing deal with Brass Villanueva and also Larry Grover and General Galen Shaw. Is he on the line?
We got two of the three. Got General Shaw and got Brass.
All right. Well, when we come back out, we'll have at least one, if not all three, of those guys with us here. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Coming right back.
Don't go away.
Thank you.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here online at philhendryshow.com as well. Brass Villanueva going to join us from his activist organization, Los Malos. And we'll also have General Galen Shaw, right?
Yes, the general is on line three right now. Are you
taking? No, I'm not taking General Shaw right now. I'm taking Brass. How you been, Brass? Haven't talked to you in a long, long time, man. How's it going?
I'm doing all right, and great to be with you.
And how's your organization?
Los Malos is going on really good, and we are trying as hard as we can, you know, to alert the community as to the abuses of these banksters that have really run roughshod in the community, and the homes that are selling are taken out from one of these people, you know.
Your organization, Los Malos, means the bad, right?
Yeah, we've been down that road before.
No, I understand that, Brass, but, you know, you're not... I understand in talking to you in the past that you have a very strong tie to your community, primarily to the Hispanic community, the Mexican-American community. I understand that. You don't speak Spanish, and you said that the extent of your knowledge of Mexican food is Taco Bell.
Yeah, and I'd also explain to you, Mr. Hendry, why that is. Because
no, yes, you did explain that.
Because of, if I can finish what I'm going to say, is because of, you know, there are millions of young Hispanic men, proud Latin men like myself, who have had the culture beat out of them, you know.
When you say the culture has been beaten out of you, Brass, how did they beat the culture out of you to the point where you only know Taco Bell?
Because of the fact that it was frowned upon to be tied to my culture too tightly, I rejected any food that was made in the Mexican fashion, you know. So I was afraid to go into any authentic restaurant for fear that I was not being American enough, and instead. But I craved it. My DNA, being Hispanic, craved it.
What do you mean DNA?
I mean my DNA. What's so tough to understand that?
Your DNA craved it because you're Hispanic.
That's right. That's right.
So your DNA craved it. Why didn't you go in a real Mexican restaurant?
Because the only one that I knew about in my neighborhood was Taco Bell. I mean, how hard is that to understand?
Well, were there no authentic Mexican restaurants in your neighborhood?
If there was, I was not aware of it because I would not recognize what an authentic Mexican restaurant looked like.
Well, what would it look like to you?
I had it beat out of me.
If you had it beat out of you, the culture, what does an authentic Mexican restaurant look like?
It just looks like someone's house or something. I don't...
You're trying to tell me that a Mexican restaurant...
Bud, would you just let me do... So it looked like someone's house.
Right. I mean, Taco Bell's going to have a big bell, and you can smell the burrito from a good block off, and...
So you're smelling a burrito, but can't you smell the Mexican food?
I smell the Mexican food. I don't know that that's food. It smells like lard. There's some dog mixed in.
Boy, you know, you must have had some really rotten restaurants in your neighborhood. So you're looking at a Mexican restaurant...
Wait, what do you mean rotten?
You're smelling lard and dog.
I'm smelling whatever they use for meat. and it was not the same kind of meat they use at Taco Bell. But if you say what a Mexican restaurant looked like, I would not know. It looked like a guy's house or something.
Was there a Mexican restaurant in your neighborhood?
I don't know. You know?
Well, is it a good bet?
It probably is a good bet. There was one place that someone said to me years later, hey, that's a place there, that's a Mexican restaurant, you know, that we could have gone to. I said, well, that looks like just a building, you know. It could be a dentist's office. And at the time, when I first saw that, I said, I thought that was like your house or something. He said, my house? He said, look, the sign there says La Casa Que Canta, which is the house that sings in Spanish. That's what he told me. I said, so? He said, you think my house is going to have a neon sign on top of it like that? I said, I don't know.
Well, did homes have neon signs on them? No. So here's a place that says, what did it say?
La Casa Que, something about La Casa, some La Casa, you know.
Yes, the house.
Yeah, the house, you know. And he goes, yeah, that's a Mexican restaurant. I said, I thought that was where you lived.
Did you go there looking for him?
I went there a couple times. Look, I said, I asked if anybody's seen Robert, and they go, what's his last name? I get a last name. They said, no. I said, maybe he's not home.
When you walked into the restaurant, did you see tables with people eating?
Yeah, but they got, people don't eat in their own house.
By the, were there 50, 100 people in there?
A couple guys. So I left. But later on, I fell in Los Malos because I felt like a real ass. You know, people said to me, well, have you never been to a Mexican restaurant? I thought, no, I haven't. They said, yes, you have. So I said, well, I'm going to form Los Malos to get some pride going on this thing, because I felt all humiliated and everything.
You felt humiliated. Okay, Brass Villanueva is with us, and we're going to talk about J.P. Morgan paying $5.1 billion, after losing this claim. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, I mean, their lenders associated with J.P. Morgan defrauded Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac of billions of dollars, and so J.P. Morgan's been ordered to pay, and Brass is with us. So, all right, you have this. Let's forget about the Hispanic tie-in.
No, you can't forget that because I am advocating on behalf of my community.
You can't advocate on behalf of your community if you think a Mexican restaurant is Taco Bell and a real Mexican restaurant is a house where your friend lived.
Why can't I?
You can. I just thought we'd steer it away from there so we don't get bogged down in your, you know, qualifications.
Hey, well, hold on, Mr. Ray. I am Hispanic, okay? I'm a proud Latin male. I don't speak Spanish, and I wouldn't know really what good Mexican food is.
Have you ever been to Mexico?
No, I have not.
Why not?
Because I've had it beat out of me.
What do you mean you had it beat out of you?
My desire to go to Mexico, it just got beat out of me, the need to go there. That's all I'm saying.
And are you talking physically? Are you talking literally beaten out of you?
I mean, it was beat out of me by my teachers in the way that I was taught. But, yeah, it, for all intents and purposes, got beat out of me.
All right, you know, I got to tell you, man, if I were you, and this is just my opinion, I'd give up on the whole Hispanic advocacy thing until you taste some real Hispanic food and speak Spanish.
And Taco Bell is what again?
It's that's gringoed up. That ain't, I wouldn't call that authentic Hispanic food, but hey, you know.
Well, it's burrito.
I wouldn't call it.
It's got tacos, right?
Yeah.
And it's got the hot sauce.
That doesn't mean anything, man.
They're selling churros now, so.
No, wrong. No,
It don't rate.
No, it don't rate. No, they're selling churros now. All right. General Galen Shaw is joining us from Washington D.C. as we continue this discussion here, and the discussion centering around this. J.P. Morgan, fine. General Shaw, how are you, sir? And it's good to talk to you.
Phil, I'm doing well, and a very pleasant good evening to your young friend there, Mr. Villanueva.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's nice to speak with you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, General, so you saw the housing crash, you witnessed the recession of 2008, you saw the resultant job loss, the consumer confidence going through the toilet, you saw people losing their homes left and right, and now, in the last couple of days, we have seen Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, and others who are being held accountable for these bad loans, fraudulent practices. $5.1 billion today for J.P. Morgan. B of A has been held liable for countrywide, and God knows how much that will ultimately cost them. What's your read?
The rate that I have.
Senator, I want to ask a question, Mr. Ernie, if I could. This is Brass.
Go ahead.
You are a general, right?
Yes, sir, I'm a general. I have retired.
And what are your qualifications to speak on a housing crisis?
Well, I think my qualifications are the... what are yours? You think that Taco Bell is all that and a bag of pork rinds? Well, you know...
My qualifications are I represent working people, you know. And
well, you represent working people, but I represent retired people and one who has labored the extent of his life on behalf of the American people, defending them, and you are here talking about Taco Bell and a neon sign on top of your friend's house, and I've been listening, Phil, very carefully to your interview with this young man. He's a fine young man, but I agree with you. I don't know what his Hispanic roots.
Well, my Hispanic, I'm sorry, I shouldn't even brought it up.
Yeah, you're that's not a fight you're going to win there, Brass, okay? So hang on here, guys. We'll get back to General Shaw and the J.P. Morgan if we have time next hour, which I suppose we will. I'm hoping that we will. This has been a whack show, man. I'm glad it's Friday, but hey, when it's Friday? When am I not glad it's Friday? You know, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Go to our shop and pick up on a, as soon as we get them, and I understand that it won't be long now, gift subscriptions to the website. Say, give one to Mom. It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my head.